hiking boots and joining me for this session of On the Right ADHD Trail. I'm Kathy Gett, owner of Get Focused. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. This is my fourth time hosting this summit focusing on men and ADHD, and I couldn't be more excited to chat with all these wonderful, incredible ADHD experts. You can find out more about me and my coaching practice at www.getfocus.com. That's GOETTFocus.com. Are you already worried how am I going to find the time to listen this weekend? I have a solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you have extended digital access to all the recordings, a transcript of our audio interviews, and as a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $150 gift certificate from REI. Enough talking, let's get started and meet our next presenter, Jeff Copper. Jeff is an ADHD coach, founder of Dig Coaching Practice, and host of Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video. As an attention coach, Jeff helps his clients understand how their minds work. He develops his anatomy of attention construct to help them gain control of their attention and move past barriers. Using his construct, they can achieve what they are capable of faster with less stress to create the productive environments they need to succeed. Jeff holds an MBA from University of Tampa, professional designation from ICF and PAAC, and certifications from ADD Coach Academy and Coaches Training Institute. Jeff is a member of Attention Deficit Disorder Association, ADHD Coaches Organization, Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, Professional Association for ADHD Coaches, and International Coach Federation. Jeff received the 2022 Professional Excellence Award presented by the ADHD Coaches Organization. Congratulations, Jeff. Today, Jeff is talking about ADHD and thinking towards a goal. Is it an impairment? Got ADHD, or do you have focus problems? Did you ever consider that the root of many of the challenges is actually thinking inside your head towards a goal? In this webinar, ADHD coach Jeff Copper spends time breaking down working memory to explain its challenges and how it's used to think inside your head towards a goal. He relates it back to planning and other executive functions, illuminates how thinking is a bigger challenge than you think, and points out that most people aren't addressing it. He also talks about things that you can do to make thinking easier to reduce the urge to accept tasks. In the end, it's about helping you focus. Thank you so much, Jeff, for coming today.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
So, Jeff, ADHD and thinking towards a goal, is it an impairment? What are you saying?
We make observations with our senses. Can I smell it? Can I touch it? Can I taste it? Can I see it? Aided by some type of technology like a microscope, a stethoscope, math is actually like a lens of sorts. When it comes to ADHD, it's hard to see what's going on inside the brain. It's really kind of an intangible. And as a result, we judge things based off of people's behavior, and we infer what's going on inside the head as a result of that behavior. And years ago, I had heard Dr. Russell Barkley talk about executive function, and at the time, there was no real definition of it. It was like anything goes, and he proposed a model that when I first heard it back in 2011, it sounded simple, but it's absolutely brilliant. And in working with that model over the years, I've come up with ways to try to bring, tangibility to the intangible part of thinking, and I've really come to discover that we observe ADHD behavior and we notice there looks like a focus problem, and it is, but I find it's really more of a symptom a lot of times of challenging thinking. And so if you think of ADHD as an executive functioning impairment, part of executive function is working memory. Have you ever thought about what working memory is?
I've thought about it. I think it's like you're trying to bring up what you have in your brain to be able to work with what you need right now. Is that sort of right?
That's the retrieval of existing knowledge. The definition of working memory is the ability to hold thoughts in your mind while organizing and sequencing them without forgetting what they are.
Okay.
In short, it's thinking towards a goal.
Thinking towards a goal.
So let's do a little attention exercise. You game?
Game. I'll probably flunk, but yeah, I'm game.
All right. So I'm gonna say six words slowly.
Oh no, this one I heard you do it before.
when I do this, please don't write the words down. And
I will.
If you feel the urge to repeat the word out loud, please don't. So
okay.
After I say the six words, I'm gonna be quiet, and I want you to repeat them back to me in alphabetical order.
I'm gonna.
You ready?
But okay.
Okay. Igloo, teacher, zebra, kangaroo, bumblebee, hippopotamus.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Bumblebee, camel, hippopotamus, igloo. That's it. The other ones are gone.
Okay.
You forgot
teacher and zebra.
Okay.
And then I think you might have interpreted one of them. That doesn't really matter. But here's what I want you to notice. You didn't learn anything new.
No.
You know what all those items are, and you know what the alphabetical order is. What you had to do is you had to load them in your mind.
Right.
For many, you might have to draw a picture to associate the word with what it is. You had to pay attention to them and reorder them without forgetting them.
Right.
Notice I gave you six relatively simple words, and you forgot two.
Right. Yeah.
That is manipulation of information in your mind towards a goal. As I said, ADHD is an executive function impairment. You just use working memory. Can you see how it's impaired?
Yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely impaired. Because I couldn't figure, I would have to write it down.
Yeah. That would be thinking outside your head. But here's what's really cool. Did you see the emotional reaction that you had?
Yeah. Fear.
I'm going to flunk. Oh, my God.
Right.
That was a reflexive reaction that you had in anticipation of having to think towards a goal. And, of course, you're in front of everybody. I've done this before where people won't even do it. They won't even try.
Oh really? I'm good. Yeah. I could have told you. I wouldn't be able to get them all.
But the point that I'm trying to make here, and what's really, really important, is most people see ADHD as an issue of focus, and it is. But this is an example, a lived experience that you had where I asked you to think. And it was difficult, to so much so that you had an emotional reaction. And many people, that emotional reaction is they go and they do something else that's easier. Now, these days, it's being occupied by social media, YouTube, or things that are easy. But in this small moment, in this small example, we can see how this begins to play out. Make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes very much sense.
So what do you do about that?
I don't know. What do I do about it?
Well, if you wrote the words down, as you said, that would have been a piece of cake, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's thinking outside of your head.
Uh-huh.
You'll also notice I asked you not to repeat the words after I said them.
Right. Yeah. That would have helped me.
It would. But let's understand really kind of what that's all about, is that play is very important for children. When they're playing, they're using their executive function. So imagine you got like a three-year-old on a carpet with a bunch of Legos or some blocks, and they're building something, right? They're not learning anything. They're kind of learning how to put things together, but I'm going to build this thing. So they're applying their executive functions. It's not all the time, but if you have a three-year-old in a room that's playing, it's not uncommon that they are talking out loud to themselves while they're playing.
Right.
They're not talking to you, me, or anybody. They're actually just talking out loud to themselves. We can actually, around the corner, we can eavesdrop on what they're saying. What I want you to know is that's developmentally normal. Okay. Somewhere between age 3 and 5, that public conversation that they're having becomes privatized. It moves into their head. It's called self-talk. Working memory has visual imagery and has self-talk. And so in this situation, the reason I asked you not to say the word out loud is it would have made the task easier.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So the epicenter of this is people with ADHD are as intelligent as anybody else. However, thinking inside their head is impaired compared to everybody else. And so this will explain very well. Dr. Thomas Brown, who used to be at Yale, now he's at UCLA, had a quote many years ago, as the need for independent work increases, ADHD productivity decreases.
Okay.
So I don't know about you, but the pandemic came along and we were all sent home to think inside our heads. And what was interesting, I'm like, okay, I'm the first to go. But nope, my phone's lit up like a Christmas tree because everybody was sent home and I got these phone calls. I'm not motivated. I'm not productive. And I'm like, no, you are motivated and productive. You're just missing the ability to think out loud. There's a lot of invisibility that's built into school and a workplace, which I'll illustrate in a second, that helps you and makes thinking easier. And so all this stuff that was happening, everybody was sent home to think and they were complaining about focus issues and willpower, as opposed to recognizing is that the epicenter of the problem was thinking inside their head. I'll give you a couple minutes. Can you see that? Thoughts? You know, make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I see what you're saying. And you're right. People did start contacting me because I was the same way. I was like, well, you know, here, this goes down the drain. But yeah, no, I got a lot of new contacts. And this was the things they're saying, I can't do this. But I was also putting it to, you know, having day-to-day systems to do and that type of stuff. But please go on. I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, see, that's important. See, because what you just said is that you were focused in on the systems. And if I can only speak to one or two people out there, like if everybody gets this, it's great. But if you fundamentally understand this, you can understand why sometimes you're paying attention to the wrong things. Because often I have people come to me and they want to make a plan. A lot of times making the plan is to sit down on Thursday at 2 o'clock and they have to think inside their head and they escape. They're oblivious. The plan doesn't do it. It's the act of thinking. And I'll come back to a second. One of the things that I say to people is that most of procrastination, as long as it's not born, is rooted in ambiguity. All right. And if you think about it, well, you literally don't know how to do something. You don't know where something is. You don't really know how long it's going to take. All that ambiguity requires that you need to think and problem solve around that. And so I want to illustrate, this is invisible. This is invisible, but it happens all the time that nobody acknowledges. So I'm coaching a woman before the pandemic who was a new client of mine. And I'm talking to her about most procrastination is rooted in ambiguity. And she's actually arguing with me. That's okay. That's not uncommon. And then the pandemic hits. And so she's got to work at home. And I got this text because sometimes it's hard for me to articulate stuff, but this was so cool because I've been trying to figure a way to describe this. But she recognized that she was on the computer and she was doing some procedural type thing at work and she couldn't recall a step. In that moment, she realized at work she would normally lean over and ask a coworker, get the information, and she'd be back in business within 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
This particular day, she couldn't lean over to the coworker. She certainly sent an instant message, but she didn't know if the coworker was at their desk, was going to be there later that day, or maybe the coworker didn't get it. I don't know. But bottom line is she got up to go get a cup of coffee and never went back. Now, when you dig into this, we had this conversation. That procedure, the answer to that was definitely out on somewhere on the company's intranet, but she had no idea where it was or how long it would take her. So in this moment, you could be in a room working for 2 hours, and it could be as simple as leaning over and asking a question like that or getting somebody else's perspective. This is the difference between getting back to work and leaving your desk and never coming back. Make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it really does.
So the reason I wanted to do this with Kathy is I'm not a big tips, tricks, and strategy person because it's like giving the Pythagorean theorem to somebody. It solves certain equations, but it doesn't solve all the problems. And I'm a big person like you have to take a look and be able to problem solve. And what I'm finding more and more is people are looking at tips, tricks, and strategies, but they're not concentrating on how do I make thinking easier or how do I make this less taxing on my working memory.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Is that- Yeah. So are you saying that they need to find for themselves ways to enhance their working memory so that they're not struggling so hard by using the tips and, you know, things that are out there that really don't work for them? Is that what we're saying?
Well, the idea here is you can't increase, I mean, as I like to tell people, if your working memory hypothetically is at the 20th, working at the 20th percentile, and I can coach you, maybe I can get you to the 30th percentile. That's a 50% improvement, but you're still way below average.
Okay.
It makes sense. So I'm not a big advocate for improving it, but actually to manage it. So I got to describe this. Hopefully some of you guys won't understand of it. Some of you will, but back when I went to college in the 80s, I remember sitting at a desk and I would, number one, I would go to the bookstore and I would buy books that were already highlighted. I'd be looking for the book that was the best highlight. I have dyslexia and a learning disability. I have to be very efficient with my reading. So I was really looking for that. Now,
okay.
I would go to class and I would take notes and I would sit on a table. My book would be on the left side and my notes would be on the right side. And when I look at my book, I could look and I'd say, okay, there's something I have highlighted in the top half of the page. It's only one section. I don't have to read to find that text. There's a target. It's yellow. Ah, that's what it is. And I would have my notes right next to me, and I would look, and there would be some notes. And I would be wanting to compare the two to reconcile it. My eyes would read the highlighted area. I didn't have to read the text to find it. It was just highlighted. Holding that in my mind, I would look over at the other page and compare that with the information that I had in my notes. Okay? My eyes are just darting from one to the other. Now, today, if you can imagine, you're reading something online, whether it's a textbook or website or whatever. It's really not easy to highlight it. So you really can't do that. So as you're reading the text to identify what it is you're looking at, once you have that, you've got to click on something, another browser, your notes, a power, whatever it is. And then you've got to scroll to find what you're looking for to compare it to.
Wow.
Now, Kathy, I gave you 6 words.
Yeah.
And you forgot 2. So you read that, and by the time you find the text that you're looking for, you have forgotten what you read. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I did an interview with Dr. Russell Barkley in 2018 at the just Google Attention Talk Radio GPS. And we were talking about executive function and ADHD and working memory. And we were talking about his concepts, and I was explaining like some of the things that I do. And, you know, when you're Dr. Barkley, he says, wow, where were you when I wrote my last book? That's a hell of a compliment. But we get towards the end of it, and we both conclude that paper is often high tech for people with ADHD because you can print it out and you can put it side by side on a table just like I described before. One of the challenges for many students these days is the technology. There's lots of tips, tricks, and strategy. But if you're doing this like on a phone, it actually gets work. Now, corporate America is starting to figure it out where you've got multiple screens, sometimes 3 and 4. But this is one of this is just the idea of like my working memory is taxed. I might need to print it. Now, people with ADHD, they don't like to print things because it's a pain in the butt and they got to shuffle through it. But a lot of times the things that are being prescribed, they sound good, but they're impairing working memory and actually making it worse. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I am a paper person, Jeff. I have to print it out to get it into my head, to be able to work on it. I take notes on it. But, yeah, I have to.
But you do that. I have a big black and white printer. I mean, I go through – I print – and I actually travel quite a bit. When I travel, I take a printer with me. I got actually a travel camper, and I got a full-blown black and white because I have to have it. The reason is for my working memory. So, again, our society – is bullying many of us by saying you need to go green. The thing that we need to do is compensate for our working memory and print it all out. Yet many people are being told not to do that, or the printers are being taken away. And so I'm sharing this is because what looks like a focus issue is, but it's a thinking problem and working memory, and that can be made easier if you print it all out as opposed to having to hold that. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, something else about this is that thinking, people with ADHD, many of them compensate for this. They talk a lot. People, they don't realize they're actually talking out loud to themselves. And everybody else doesn't recognize it. So people will come to me, we call them verbal processors, and I'll say, you know, you're noticing this, and I'll explain working memory as if to explain why they're doing what they're doing. And I'll say, I want you to notice is that nobody taught you to do this. You've gravitated to this instinctively because you're rewarded with higher levels of performance. But you're not hearing that being talked about because sometimes people with ADHD, they need to talk to somebody out loud to think. I mean, they'll go up and the other person won't say anything. 5 minutes later, they solve their own problem. Or sometimes they need feedback as they're processing things. And our world is pushing that away. This is the part when the pandemic hit, everybody went home and they weren't able to do that. And more, by the way, if you're in chat, there's a when you're loading up your working memory, I don't want to get a lot of detail, and you go do another task because you're waiting somebody to respond, you'll actually forget about what the hell you were thinking about. Like, Kathy, I gave you six words and you forgot two of them. So when you're having to keep going back and reloading that conversation, this becomes a very, very, very inefficient way of getting help. Plus, when you're talking to somebody, sometimes I'm sitting there and I don't know the word or what I'm looking for. If I'm talking to somebody who knows what's going on, they can infer in my body language and help me understand what it is I'm trying to ask. All that stuff is stripped away. This all goes back to the topic today is thinking inside your head towards a goal is impaired. Most people don't realize this, and they're isolating themselves from these types of things that are helpful for people with ADHD to think. So we're going after tips, tricks, and strategies, but sometimes we're kind of going east, running east, looking for a sunset. We're kind of going in the wrong direction.
Thoughts? Going the wrong. Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. The paper thing and the talking out loud, I am a verbal processor also. And so I know that I have to talk to my friends, whatever, or my coach friends and stuff and say, throw this out at them. And that's one of the reasons why I like doing this telesummit. I like to verbally give out information and everything. I'm not a writer. I don't want to write a book.
Yep.
I want to do this type of stuff. Thank you. What
I like about what you're saying is the people that are listening, I'm hoping that we're giving them permission to go with their instincts. If you feel the urge to print or talk, that's there's a great reason why that, because you feel better, you're a little bit more productive. And more, it's a challenge because society, you know, one of the things I always say is remember it's convenient for society if you do it their way. And a lot of the people that are listening to this, society is bullying you to do it their way because it's less work for them. And what I hope is that this conversation and you, Kathy, are validating that it's a legitimate reason there's nothing wrong with them and kind of give them permission to go do it their way and bully society back.
I love that. That's absolutely true. You blow me away because I can't know six words.
But I do. Don't trust me. I do this all the time. You're not the first that struggles with it. And you're not the first where I get an emotional reaction to it. So again, if you're thinking about this, one of the things that, you know, as I tell people, if you're running east looking for a sunset, if you're running east looking for tips, tricks, and strategies, but you're not saying fundamentally, I've got a working memory challenge, and you're not problem solving. So paper and talking out loud are basically, you're getting it out to facilitate that. Now there's other ways to do that, but so many people are looking for like, where's that app that's going to solve my problem? And it doesn't take into consideration the working memory challenges. And so it might look really good on paper, just like exercise equipment. You know, hey, you can do this from the convenience of your own home. You take it home. Most people don't do it because it's too boring to do it. If you go somewhere else, there's other reasons that you're doing it. So it sounds good. It's sexy. It's really easy to sell, but it's kind of like lazy thinking when you think about it. And the hope today is that I can enumerate this and people are like, I got to make thinking easier. I got to make this easier on my working memory and figure that out. And then you can figure out what anything that will go into that, but trying to find the tip or trick that's going to solve the problem, being blind to this, I think you'll find that it's a little bit of a challenge. So it's just a change the way you're problem solving.
Change the way you're problem solving. So, you know, especially for the kids these days that are doing school, maybe they're at home or in school, and they've got these computers, and you got to go to this screen, you got to go to that screen. That's why so many of these kids are struggling, right?
Yes.
Because it's bringing all that up because you're like, oh, wait, how did I get to that screen? Well, wait, now I need to go to this screen. And I myself struggle with that. But that's good to know that this is part of it.
Go ahead. So I got this also begins to explain why you got 40 or 50 tabs open on your computer. You'll go there, you'll start on something, then you'll get distracted. You'll forget what you're doing, but you're leaving it open as a reminder that that still has to be done.
Right.
Recalling
right.
a memory. So if you deleted the task, you'll kind of forget about it. So there's a lot of little things that are buried that explained by all that behavior. And people, like, they start to give themselves a hard time. Like, no, it's there for a reason. There's ways to reduce some of that stuff, but you can begin to see how working memory is a bigger issue with regard to ADHD than most people give them credit for.
Yeah, and I was listening to your Attention Talk video many years, and it's called Working Memory and ADHD with Dr. Barkley, and I thought that was a really great one in explaining sort of what you were saying here. You talked about the two parts of the brain, the back part and the front part. And,
yep.
It went into great detail, too, so I recommend that video to listen to. It's really good. It was really good. Did you have something else to say, Jack?
No, I was just going to say, with that, is there any other questions that you have? Because if you have the questions, maybe the listeners will have the questions. But, again, I don't want to get into a lot more because I want to make sure this is kind of concise. I hope I've illuminated how much this is. And the issue is, folks, how do you make thinking easier? How do you externalize thinking? If you begin to think along that mindset, you might find it easier to find stuff that works.
Right. And so it was like holding on to your work. How do we compensate to hold on to working memory and coming? And you have to sort of work it out yourself. I mean, talk it out. Talk to different people and everything. But it's not always going to be the same thing for everybody. And I think that's what we have to really understand is no one thing works for everyone. Is that correct?
No one thing works for everyone, and no one thing works for everyone in every situation.
Every situation.
There's situational variability. Like, one of the things is there's different – I won't go into it right now, but there's methodical thinking, there's trial and error thinking, there's insightful thinking, and people will go out there and jump on the Pomodoro technique, which can be helpful for people when they're thinking on methodical type stuff, but it's actually usually the absolute worst thing that you can use if you're using an insightful thinking process. Nobody understands those differences, so they just go and apply it, and it kind of works, kind of doesn't. But like, if you understand that a little bit more, you understand. But I'm using that really as a situation that what you use often varies based off the situational variables, and one has to learn how to problem solve for it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Jeff. It's been really interesting and very eye-opening, especially for me.
My pleasure.
Love for you to tell our guests about the free gift bonus offering. And if they want to get in contact with you, how do they do that, Jeff?
So to contact me, if you go to digcoaching.com, you can go there. You can get access to Attention Talk Radio, my podcast, Attention Talk Video, my YouTube channel, and then, we have current events, so like this stuff is up there, so you can go back and listen to archives. Our free gift is ADHD, the Gift of Hope. And the reason I'm offering this up there is there's a lot of misinformation out there. Is ADHD a gift or is it a curse? And what I did is I had done some interviews years ago with Dr. Ned Hollowell and Dr. Russell Barkley on this particular topic. And by using the two of them together, we kind of frame it out of what really the hope is. To illuminate, remove the mystery. A lot of people like to think of ADHD as a gift, which is dangerous because if you call it a gift, then everybody around you, well, if it's such a gift, then you don't need any help. So you actually, it can bite you in the foot. We don't want to call it a gift because we need that help when we need it. But at the same time, it's not a curse. And so the ebook is really designed to kind of help people understand what it is. And still, you can have the gift of hope because there's a lot you can do with ADHD. But it's not something you'd wrap up and give to somebody as their birthday present. Make sense?
No, I absolutely understand. And, I've looked at it. I was reading it. It's very good, the conversations that you have with Dr. Barkley and Dr. Ned Hollowell. It's sort of like they're going at each other a little bit. So it was really – well, once again, we're toward the end, and I just want to say thank you so much. I encourage everyone to go and listen to his audios and watch his videos. They're really good and answer so many questions that you might have. And I'm going to work real hard to be more adept in my verbal processing.
Touche. And Kathy, as an aside, thank you for what you're doing by trying to get information out there to help those in need. Years ago, I did an interview with Russ Ramsey because he's a big fan of coaching, and he was a University of Pennsylvania psychologist. And it was interesting because he said, you guys have really done a really good job, but what you've really done is brought a business sense and marketing to this, and you're making relevant, fun information available to the consumer, and more people are actually going to seek treatment. So we're kind of take a little bit of stigma off. And the things that you're doing here are doing just that. So I just wanted to acknowledge you in front of your other listeners that you're helping a lot of people by doing this.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that very much. I really do enjoy doing this, and that's why I do it. I want to get the information out to the public, and sometimes they don't have the ways to getting it. But coming to us and listening to us, they're going to find a lot of great information.
Yep.
So
thank you.
Thank you so much. And to my audience, I will be talking to you later on. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.